Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We have a Reardon Roundtable coming up tomorrow. It'll be Friday, taking into the weekend. Jane will be on the panel. Former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith. Paul Hall with entertainment news and some recommendations to see at the theaters and streaming in the 4 o'clock hour. Frank Cusimano also with some sports as we head into the weekend. And our friend George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet is going to be here talking about some tech things that we always love to share with him. So Putin and Trump are going to meet in Alaska, you know, tomorrow. And here's Putin maybe buttering Trump up just a little bit through a translator, of course.
I asked you to gather today in order to inform you about how the negotiation process on the Ukrainian crisis is going. The second is to tell you about the stage we are at with the current American administration, which, as everyone knows, is making, in my opinion, quite energetic and sincere efforts to stop the hostilities, stop the crisis, and reach agreements that are of interest to all parties involved in this conflict in order to create long-term conditions of peace between our countries.
Very diplomatic, right? Sounded very diplomatic there. Brian mentioned this yesterday, Mr. Kilmeade. He was on the show. He had Trump on his radio show this morning.
This meeting sets up the second meeting. The second meeting is going to be very, very important because that's going to be a meeting where they make a deal, and I don't want to use the word divvy things up, but, you know, to a certain extent, it's not a bad term, okay? But there will be a give and take as to boundaries, lands, et cetera, et cetera. The second meeting is going to be very, very important. This meeting sets up, it's like a chess game. This meeting sets up the second meeting.
So the president says he has high hopes, though.
It would be certainly convenient if we had a very good meeting, because I'm going to let them negotiate their deal. I'm not going to negotiate the deal. I'm going to let them negotiate their deal. So we're going to be calling President Zelensky if it's a good meeting. If it's a bad meeting, I'm not calling anybody. I'm going home.
And by the way, on the topic of Zelensky, he's not too crazy about this.
Putin is bluffing. He's trying to apply pressure before the meeting in Alaska along all parts of the Ukrainian front. Russia is trying to show that it can occupy all of Ukraine.
So Brian asked him about the trust issue with Putin to President Trump.
Well, I think you'll know that in the first couple of minutes, but I think you already know that because he's coming to Alaska. He's coming to the USA, and I think you know that. I think that's a nice statement. I just heard it. I think he wants to get it done. I really feel he wanted the whole thing. I think if it weren't me, if it was somebody else, he would be not talking to anybody. I don't know that we're going to get an immediate ceasefire, but I think it's going to come. See, I'm more interested in immediate peace deal, getting peace fast. And depending on what happens with my meeting, I'm going to be calling up President Zelensky, and let's get him over to wherever we're going to meet. I don't know where we're going to have the second meeting, but we have an idea of three different locations. And will be, including the possibility, because it would be by far the easiest, of staying in Alaska.
So William Dunn is back with us this afternoon. Marine Corps Colonel, retired. He's the president of Strategic Resilience Group, a veteran of 33 years in the Marine Corps. William Dunn, how are you this afternoon? Appreciate you coming on and chiming in on this.
I'm great, sir. Thanks for having me. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing pretty good. What are your realistic expectations, man, to be a fly on the wall or in that room with Putin and Trump, kind of both probably, you know, thrusting their chests out amongst one another, trying to get something done? But what's the reality of what can be achieved at this meeting?
Well, like the president said, I think this is setting up the second, third, fourth meeting. You know, they've been at war for over 3 years. They're not going to solve this in a 15-minute or even a two-hour meeting with the two heads of states, because you have a third player in here, which is the Ukrainian president. So what you have to do is first find out what the realm of possibility is. And I believe that's what this is. It's a fact-finding mission in Alaska with President Trump and Putin to see what's of the realm of possibility. And then I think the next step will be figure out what the realm of possibility is with Zelensky, and then maybe bring everyone together. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. And it should take time because, you know, there's a huge difference between a truce slash peace and a ceasefire. You know, a ceasefire can be very, very temporary, as we've seen in the Middle East. You know, they have many, many ceasefires, and then they're followed up within sometimes days, if not hours, of breaking that ceasefire. So what we need is long-term peace, and I don't believe anyone else in the world could get it done other than President Trump working with these two world leaders.
The one thing you hear, though, is when you hear from Zelensky, and it's, you know, maybe disappointing that he's not going to be there, although they're not quite ready for that step, maybe at the second or third meeting. But he doesn't seem, you know, up for any type, and I completely understand, giving any type of, you know, land back to Russia in this conflict. So where, you know, negotiations and diplomacy and all this stuff, it's about compromise in many situations. Zelensky and Putin never really have seemed to have come close to be willing to compromise on some of the key issues here. So that's why I don't know what the realistic expectations might be here, how they can move to a point where they can get to some, you know, territorial disputes and decisions on that. Do you see a path for that?
I do see a path if Zelensky looks at this with a rational lens. Ukraine is not going to win this war without outside help.
Yeah.
Without outside help, I think this war would already be over. And that is, that outcome is terrible for the world, not just for Ukraine. We do not want to have Russia with additional ambitions in Europe or anywhere else outside of Ukraine. What I would do if I was the Ukrainian president is I would try to, what we call in Marine aviation, survive the merge. So there's a merge coming between Russia and Ukraine right now. They've been doing it for 3 years, but right now they're in what I consider another merge, right? They already had several. Ukraine has got to survive the merge so they can live to fight another day. Maybe they get through a peace process right now. Does not mean that Russia will keep whatever territory they've seized forever. Maybe the next step is Ukraine becomes strong again, able to deal with things on their own, and then they can, you know, bolster another attempt to get it back. That's just one way to look at it. I'm not saying that is the solution, but if everybody in the world were to pull all support for Ukraine, I think this would end very badly for Ukraine.
Let me ask you on a different topic. I heard the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on with Laura Ingraham a couple of nights ago, and he was talking about something that I was unfamiliar with, the term shark attacks, that he wants to bring back to military training. Here's what he said the other night.
A strong, tough military, why do you get softer at the beginning? The tactics drill sergeants used in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they forged generations of young Americans who went and fought wars courageously. Now we're handing out, you know, in the past, we're handing out stress cards. Are you too stressed? Do you need some counseling for that?
Therapy animals.
No, we're going to flip your bunk and we're going to shark attack and we're going to forge a young man or a young woman into a brave American willing to fight on behalf of all of us. So we are making basic training great again by putting the power back in the hands of drill sergeants. just like staff sergeants, just like company commanders, just like battalion commanders, we're making it possible to actually command decisively in the military, which is how you close with and destroy your enemy. We lost track of the basics, Laura, and we're restoring the basics at the Defense Department.
Now, Colonel, when I talked about this a couple of nights ago, my interpretation, and I think I misunderstood this, that shark attacks were simply, we played the soundbite from Richard Gere and Louis Gossett Jr. in An Officer and a Gentleman. Then I had a listener that said, no, the shark attack actually describes when a bunch of different, you know, basic training officers might surround someone and they're in their face and they're trying to get them motivated. So what's your take on all that?
It's funny because I've never, you know, I've never heard the term shark attack until, you know, these last few points with the SecDef.
Interesting.
But what it is boot camp is designed to break everybody down, whether you show up there as an African-American, a white American, a Hispanic American, a rich kid, a poor kid, a smart kid, a high school barely graduate kid. You put us all together, and I went through this at Parris Island in 1983. You put us all together, you break us all down. And I remember this day. So we're sitting there quietly, and they said, our platoon commander's there, he's a lieutenant. He says, okay, when I give the command, drill instructors take charge of your platoon. And so we're like, oh, boy. And I thought to myself, wow, this is much nicer than I expected. And as soon as he said, take charge of the platoon, and the drill instructor started screaming at us, they surrounded us, they're yelling at us from every direction, scares the crap out of you. It's designed to break you down. We are training men and women, and we always have to kill people. Doesn't matter whether you're a cook, doesn't matter whether you're a computer guy or girl, or an infantry marine, you are being trained at boot camp and in the follow-on schools to kill people. And that's all there is to it. And I need right. The person to my left and to my right to be strong, tough, willing to kill people. And obviously to kill people, as weird as this may sound to people that have not been in the military, in a professional manner. Okay, we follow the rules of engagement. We kill people based on those rules of engagement. And we fight based on those rules of engagement. And you need to be a professional at your task. So when you look at the military as a job, that's a problem. And that's what had happened in the last administration. All services were looked at by the administration as a job. Hey, you got to be nice to this young man or young woman. I disagree. You need to teach that man or woman to survive, period. You owe that to their parents. You owe that to their brothers and sisters. And if you look at the military any other way, you're hurting our country and you're putting those men and women at risk.
Colonel, well stated. That was awesome. I appreciate coming on here tonight. You have a great weekend.
You too, and have a great day. And Semper Fi to all my brother and sister Marines out there.
Awesome. That's great.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Well, we've been talking about the D.C. crime situation. I have related a lot of it back to some of the things that we've experienced here in St. Louis. There was a very impactful piece in the Washington Examiner by a reporter by the name of Anna Gertelli, who joins us this afternoon to kind of share her story about being a victim of crime and how these crime numbers often get manipulated. We know that that happens here in St. Louis as well. That's been exposed. Anna, how are you? Thanks for coming on the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good. Thanks for having me.
You're getting a fair amount of attention on this piece, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, the White House, a couple accounts have tweeted it, which has been really an honor that they're sharing my story, because I think the more people that know, the more we have a better chance of actually addressing the real issues within crime.
So you are the Homeland Security reporter at the Washington Examiner. You do not usually write op-eds. In fact, I think there was a note at the end of this saying this is like your first op-ed, right? It's the first time you're writing an opinion piece along these lines.
It is, yeah. And I became unexpectedly a victim of crime outside my home in D.C. 5 years ago and have had a long journey in recovering and healing and much therapy and leaving D.C. And finally, you know, I've been writing a book about this and what it's been like. And, you know, with what happened this week with President Trump announcing this crackdown on crime in D.C., it sort of just came out as the right time to write an op-ed and share what I've experienced, because I've never shared those things before.
Yeah, and there's a lot of facets to this. Let's first just kind of describe what happened in 2020 on that Saturday morning, and then I want to get into some of the things I think that are very relatable here in St. Louis with how the crime numbers, you know, don't maybe match up with reality. But this, something that happened to you, where you became a victim on a morning in 2020, right? Just kind of walking out of your apartment on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I lived right a few blocks from the U.S. Capitol by a place called Union Station where you catch the trains, and on a Saturday morning, I put on my sweatpants and sweatshirt, walked outside to mail a package, and just a block from my front door, a stranger, a man, lunged at me and took me down and in the process sexually assaulted me. And I was screaming, and he was screaming as well. But someone was able to, a few other people came and ran over and able to get him off me. And he got away that day, but the police were able to collect DNA evidence from my clothing. And 2 months later, 3 months later, arrested him on the street. He was homeless. And then the judge had him released immediately. The D.C. jails were overcrowded at that point. And so he went back to the streets. And then before we went to trial, progressed a year and a half, began about a year and a half or two after that. He was arrested 5 more times, including for wielding a machete. And all 5 times, the judge in my case ordered him to be immediately released back onto the street. And so, fearing for my safety, I left D.C.
So what was the justification just on the judge's part for releasing him? Was it because of jail overcrowding? Is that what they were citing?
It was, and it was during COVID, which in D.C., we didn't go back to work in D.C. until the end of 2022. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous. And so they were still acting under those protocols, even in late, 2021, early into 2022. And so they didn't want to risk his, public health, or I should say his health being in a confined setting that is, a jail setting.
Did he ever serve any time for the crime against you or some of these others that you're aware of?
He did. We went to, so he took a plea deal, so we avoided trial in 2022, and he was sentenced to federal prison for what he did to me. And he has since been released from prison, and he is back in D.C., to my knowledge. That's the last I know. I told the U.S. Attorney's Office I didn't want to hear any more updates, and I wanted to move on.
So this is where, you know, there's parallels to St. Louis, where we've been talking about downtown crime and just crime all over our city for a while. I focus on it, sadly, way too often, and I work downtown, so we have incidents that are, you know, a little scary, even in the middle of the day. We had this, you know, prosecutor, you might be familiar with, Kim Gardner, and what she did to St. Louis. It was awful. We got rid of her. We got rid of the last mayor, and Cori Bush is gone as well. But one of the things that we focused in on is how the police department here keeps track of the crime and how they log it and how they can make the case that crime is going down when it really is not going down. And you discovered in looking into some of these things in D.C. that they, like, your crime in particular isn't even on the Crime Act. Like it didn't even happen, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It was shocking. So in 2020, I was when I came back to work after this, I was reporting on crime. It was my beat. And so you didn't help with healing, but, you know, in looking at DC crime stats and writing about if violent crime has gone up or down during the pandemic, I was able to look specifically at my incidents and on the map and see where it was and such. And I noticed there was no pin. And, you know, going back and saying, well, why isn't this recorded? I know the date, I know the place, all that, trying everything else to figure it out. And so I reached out to the police, said, I'm a reporter, but I'm also a victim. And they responded and said, we only include first-degree felonies in our crime list online.
I mean,
and to me,
yeah, how do you react to that, right?
It was like being told what happened to you didn't matter.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. You should get over it. It's not even worthy of our crime map. And immediately, you know, I can't prove this, right? But I think we can all imagine why the nation's capital, the police department, it's not a good image to have them disclose more crime. It's better to show less crime. So that was what I assumed. You know, obviously no one's confirmed that to me, but we can certainly assume why they wouldn't want to disclose that sort of thing.
I think we can confirm it unofficially, if you know what I mean. And by the way, you know, when I talk about these things, I don't blame the officers on the beat, and I don't think you do either. These are the suits that we're talking about, right?
No, these folks, these officers in the same, I mean, my community. So what I found out at sentencing is they couldn't tell me this the whole 2 years. Before he attacked me, they didn't specify it, but how long before, I believe it was roughly weeks or months, this same man had attacked an off-duty female police officer in the same neighborhood and gotten away. And so when he attacked me, these police who responded from SVU immediately knew, oh, I think we're looking for the same guy.
Yeah.
So they went on and arrested him 5 more times after me. I mean, can you imagine being a cop and seeing, we know this guy is dangerous. We know what he's capable of. And the judge keeps allowing him to, you know, make bail.
It's just stunning. Look, we had a situation here in the last couple of weeks that shed some light upon the juvenile system. And I know that that's an issue in D.C. as well. We had 4 kids, teenagers, 14, you know, 13, 14. They carjacked with a weapon, with a gun, an Uber driver. They're taken into custody. They're released back to their parents because we have this ridiculous point system here. The next day, same kids do it again to a Lyft driver. So they know that there's not going to be consequences in many of these situations, whether they're older, you know, criminal offenders or younger. And I know this had to be tough. You mentioned you're writing a book to even talk about these things and kind of relive it again. But your hope in exposing this and writing this op-ed is that this could maybe lead to some change, right, Anna?
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 things have to be done. I think we have to look at, why are we releasing people? Is there not enough jail space? You know, it's people who are legitimately a danger to the public being released. I think that's a huge part of it. And then the other thing is the crime stats. You can't get a hold of the crime in any city if you don't understand how serious it is.
That's right.
So what are the real sex abuse counts that have been filed? You know, when we look at every degree, not just first degree and such. So I think that's really part of gaining a better picture before we move forward. And that's why I wanted to come forward now and share here's what I learned, you know, not just complain, oh, I was a victim, which is valid, but here's what we need to know if we're going to move past this.
Well, congratulations on being brave enough to do that. I hope it does draw some attention. I enjoyed, enjoy is the wrong word, but I really did appreciate the piece, which is why we invited you to come on here this afternoon. And sadly, there is common ground in D.C. and St. Louis and Chicago and a lot of these cities. So, Anna, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I know that you're, you know, you're getting attention. Keep us on the list when the book comes out. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much. And St. Charles is one of my favorite places to visit. So.
Awesome. Why is that in particular?
Oh, I just love the old historic feel of everything.
Yeah.
The pub, the brewery. Yeah, I love that part of St. Louis.
My my wife and daughter were in St. Charles last night for, I think, what they call St. Charles Days. And there was a band playing that had a friend of ours in it. So we have most of our listeners are out in that area. So you're going to you have instant fans saying that and referencing St. Charles. But Anna, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
President Trump had another lengthy session with reporters this morning. They were celebrating the 90th anniversary of Social Security, but he was asked, and, you know, I mean, look, this guy is available to the media on a regular basis, but he was asked about some of the Russiagate docs that were revealed and some of the things that Tulsi Gabbard had to say a couple of weeks ago.
What's your reaction to the latest declassification? And in your view, sir, what does real accountability look like for the players?
It's incredible what we're finding. Absolute proof of guilt, and we'll see what happens. But Clapper and Comey and that whole group of criminals, they're criminals, and they made it very tough. You know, they did the fake Russia witch hunt that lasted for 2 years, and I got totally exonerated. There was no doubt about it. They should have done it in one day, not 2 years, but it was a whole scheme to try and demean Trump so that I couldn't win an election. And that is a criminal group of people. They're sick people. and they're criminals, and they should be taken care of.
So the declassified documents reveal that U.S. intelligence leaders concealed high-level doubts about one of the foundational allegations in all of this, that Russia stole and leaked Democrat Party material to help Trump defeat Hillary Clinton. The undisclosed dissent about the hacking activities in the 2016 election is among several revelations that were released by Tulsi Gabbard. But of course, if you were reading The Washington Post, The New York Times, or some of the legacy media, you'd never realize that this was even a story. Now, there has been some good reporting about this. I had Peter Zane on a couple of nights ago from Real Clear Investigations. I know that he was one of the editors on a piece that Aaron Maté at Real Clear Investigations did. Aaron did some good reporting on this, and it was very different than The New York Times. Frank Mealy is with me tonight. He's done some good reporting on this. He's the retired editor of the Daily Interlake in Montana. He writes for Real Clear Politics, and he wrote about this very topic. Frank, welcome back. I hope all is well in your world.
I am so glad that you're back, because with everything that has been going on, I have a feeling that, you know, if you had been there, none of this would have happened, and we would have had a country that was all one piece still.
I don't know about that, but this is kind of fascinating, especially as you point out in your piece, Frank, that the reporting that's done by Aaron and some of the other folks out there is a little different than the New York Times, who keeps trying to cover up for their mistakes in the past on this story originally, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole Russiagate scenario began back in 2016, when Hillary Clinton's campaign was doddering like she was, and the media, which clearly was behind her, grabbed onto this manufactured hoax and wouldn't let it go, you know. Basically, the whole idea that, you know, Russia was behind it, you know, came from Hillary Clinton's campaign with this CrowdStrike analyzing her server that she was, you know, illegally using for her Secretary of State role, and telling the FBI, well, you know, we looked at this server and it looks like Russia hacked it. And the FBI, you know, somehow without doing any work of its own, accepted that. And the media was leaked stories saying Russia did it. And they ran with it without ever doing any actual investigations themselves, other than listening to the spy agency. So we now know we're corrupt as sin.
And as you point out, you know, just focusing, let's not focus on the players right now. Let's focus on NBC, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times. They'll never really be held accountable for their part in propagating this whole fake collusion story. And they still act as if. And here's one of the lines that's being used even this week with the situation in D.C. with the National Guard coming in. They want to, you know, and I had a montage that I played yesterday and the day before. They want to keep throwing shade toward, you know, this is just Trump trying to draw attention away from Jeffrey Epstein, et cetera, right? This is more fake news from a crazy person. Yeah, exactly.
The distraction hoax.
So where do you think this actually takes us? Because Pam Bondi says there's going to be a grand jury probe. You know, you got people like Brennan, Clapper, Comey. I don't know if Hillary's going to be called, but they're going to try to get convictions here, at least indictments, right?
Oh, absolutely. If they don't, they're missing a major, part of what people elected them to do. Nobody wants to see bad guys get away with bad stuff. So, yeah, they better. And I'm starting to think maybe Trump was right that the Epstein thing is a distraction, you know, to borrow that phrase from the Democrats, because, you know, Epstein bad, but coup against the United States government, really bad. And, you know, we were getting distracted from what was going on. And like you said, you know, the networks gave like 3 minutes to this story, which is huge. And, you know, compared to the hours and hours and hundreds of hours that they devoted to trying to prove that Trump was a puppet of Putin. So it's ridiculous. And they get away with it because the First Amendment gives them a shield. But it's a shame.
But you know, you point this out in your column, and I probably even talked to you about this back then, but you wrote about this from the very beginning, and your gut check was that something was certainly off with this narrative, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I remember listening to Trump's impromptu press conference where he was coming out to defend himself against charges that he was, you know, a Russian agent. And toward the end of it, he threw a little joke out about, gee, Russia, if you've got Hillary's emails, you know, the press would love to see them. And, you know, I laughed. Everybody who understands humor laughed because Trump was just doing a riff. But immediately the mainstream media was like, oh, Trump really is a Russian agent, or he wouldn't be able to tell Putin to release the emails. It was absurd. First of all, we all thought at that time that the FBI had the server, you know, that they were doing a real investigation and the server was long since unplugged. It turns out, no, the FBI didn't even have it. It was Hillary Clinton's campaign that still had it. So the idea that Russians were doing anything was so absurd. And so within 10 days of that happening, I wrote a column and I called it Mediagate.
Yeah.
because the real, you know, scandal was that we had a media that didn't know how to do its job or refused to do its job. And they, you know, they had this, you know, mission, holy mission from God to put Hillary Clinton in the White House, and they were going to do it, by God.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm that was almost 10 years ago, right? That was 2016.
Yeah.
And as you correctly asserted then, and I think we've learned a lot since, not only on this story, it wasn't about Trump colluding with the Russians. It was about the media colluding with the Democrats and the intelligence community to cripple the candidacy of Donald Trump. And they kept doing it last year. I mean, we probably haven't even talked in great detail about the books that came out in the spring and all the details of Joe Biden's being, you know, inadequately cognitively aware of what he was doing. But again, that's a repeat story. These are all very consistent. COVID's another one. And I know you cited in your column, and I'm a big fan of Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi, two guys that are far from being or have records of being conservative or empathetic to Republicans, but came out and started seeing the facts of some of these stories and had to report them accurately.
Yeah, absolutely. And meanwhile, the New York Times, the what do you call it, the centerpiece of fake news in the country, comes out with a story saying, oh, the emails that Tulsi Gabbard released were actually created by Russia. And anything that proves that Hillary Clinton is a crook was created by Russia. So just trust us, because there's nothing to this, you know, with the whole distraction hoax. So, yeah, it makes me mad as heck that I'm, you know, I'm in this media bubble, and I screamed about it for 10 years. And it just seems like it's a losing battle. It's where do you go to, you know, how do you get people to focus on the fact that they're not getting the straight story? And too many people don't know they're not getting the straight story.
That's
unfortunately,
the problem. They don't know. You know, I read there was a letter to the editor, and you know, you're a newspaper guy, so there was a day that we would all open the opinion page here in St. Louis at the Post-Dispatch, and I'd read the letters to the editor on a regular basis. They still have them; they're kind of tucked away digitally on the website. But there was someone who was trying to make the case that NPR and PBS should be trusted, and that, you know, ripping on Fox, and everybody loves to rip on Fox. I watch a lot of Fox. I watch some CNN. I pay attention to a lot of these news sources, and I will tell you, like, let's just focus on the immigration issue and nothing else. The only news outlet that was consistently reporting on the immigration issue and the millions of people that were flooding across the border, including male Chinese nationals and people from Africa, every single day, Bill Malusian and Fox, they were on that story, and they were accurately on that story. The rest of the media just completely ignored it. So there's this perception out there because it's Fox and that they're owned by the Republicans. But the truth of the matter is, and look, there's certainly some bias in Fox, and they're favorable more to the Trump side than, you know, than others, and certainly more than CNN. But you have a situation where there's this assumption because of the hatred of Trump that the ABC narrative, the NBC narrative, the PBS or the NPR narrative is the right one because those are the trusted sources. And Frank, I've said this before many times on the show. As someone trained in journalism, I'm a little embarrassed to say that. As someone who went to the University of Missouri, I have a bachelor in journalism. I've been a news director. I've been a news anchor. When Trump first started saying the media is the enemy of the people, I thought it was ridiculous. I was revolted by that. I thought it was embarrassing. We need the media to play an important role. I still believe that part. But he was absolutely right that the media, they continue to be the enemy of the people.
Right. Well, I had to write a column back then to defend Trump because what he literally said was the fake news is the enemy of the people.
Right.
And so I wrote a column saying, you know, he's talking about these people that lie and distort, and that for, you know, we know that is the enemy of democracy, the enemy of the republic, the enemy of the people, because without a straight information news source, you can't make informed decisions. And that's what concerns me, because after Trump goes, you know, in 3 years, I don't know what's coming next, but I don't think there's ever going to be anybody who can wield a hammer like Trump can to, you know, put people in their place. So good luck, America. We definitely will need it.
Yeah, and it's probably only going to get worse. And I think one of the reasons is you have these young people, and you know they feel, and I think this is being taught in journalism schools, that their role is to be advocates. That, you know, that's not how you were trained or how you ran a newspaper. It's not how I ran a newsroom. But they feel that there's a greater good here, especially when it comes to these, you know, cultural issues like the trans issue and everything. There's no Washington Post did a piece over the weekend on Sunday about this family. I think out in your neck of the woods. I think it was in one of the Dakotas that had opened a bookstore, and they have to move now because of one of the bathroom bills that was passed. But there's never an attempt by the Washington Post and the New York Times to put into perspective the victims that had to change in front of Tim Thomas and others in locker rooms and being exposed to male genitalia. They don't ever do any kind of, you know, portrait of a little girl who's been a victim, like a softball player in Minnesota, of a kid who has, you know, a biological boy's makeup who's smoking the girls in the competition. So they always want to pull the heartstrings from one angle. They never want to do it from the other angle. I'd have more respect. You can do your story about the trans kid moving out of South Dakota because the parents don't like the legislation, but how about the other perspective where there are also victims? Not even the sports media, Frank. They're the worst. ESPN and the sports folks, they're even worse than the regular media.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you don't have to go far to find this kind of fake, you know, or failure to focus on the correct person, because this DC story about Trump trying to salvage some kind of dignity for our capital, they will never go and talk to the residents of DC and say, hey, is it dangerous here? They're just like, oh no, he's making it up, it's a distraction, when everybody who has talked to anybody that lives there knows very well that it's a very dangerous city. And, you know, Trump is right.
A rare exception to that, and I played it earlier on the show, is Joe Scarborough, of all people, had to be honest about that. He kind of was forced to be honest about it. So there's a little bit out there. And I will say this, you know, because I do give credit where credit is due. There was an attempt by Kristen Welker and a couple others to hold, you know, some of these folks on the issue of redistricting and the gerrymandering, you know, like our friend J.B. Pritzker across the river, holding their feet to the fire a little bit, recognizing the hypocrisy. I don't know if these reporters finally realize, okay, we got to at least go down this hole because it's so hypocritical. But I did see some of them pressing, you know, Pritzker and Hochul and some of the others, which is kind of amazing. So maybe there's just a little hope out there, but not too much overall. Frank, it's great to hook up with you. I hope all is well. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. Audio cut of the day is around the corner. Yeah, it should be a really fun roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be here. Former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith, they are on the A-list of roundtable participants. That's all in the 3 o'clock hour. Paul Hall with entertainment recommendations at 4:30, right after Sue's News. Cusimano will be here as well. We have George Rosenthal set up, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's all
Love
coming
that.
Up tomorrow in the show. All right, I got a couple things here for audio cut of the day. Let's get right to it.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So, I don't know if this was last night or two nights ago, but there's reaction from the president because now you have Democrats realizing that this Mamdani guy is going to be the next mayor of New York City. They were a little cautious here when he won the primary, but the polling is pretty clear now, and Eric Adams is way back in the pack. We had Paul Morrow tell us the other day that maybe, just maybe, it's not going to be Curtis Sliwa, he's a Republican, but maybe Andrew Cuomo, but it looks like Mamdani's going to win. So now Elizabeth Warren, or as Trump calls her, Pocahontas, is praising Mamdani.
Mamdani is the one who said, I will make this a priority. And you know what he said? He said, I'm really going to lean in on childcare. I'm really going to lean in on housing. And I'm even going to try some new things to bring down the cost
of
groceries.
So it doesn't concern you that
I'm not going to sit around and pretend, oh, it's a federal problem.
Well, I think the question was, he doesn't concern you that he's a communist, right? Here's President Trump's reaction.
Elizabeth Warren said she was an Indian. We call her Pocahontas. She's a liar. She lied her whole career. Based on the fact that she was an Indian, she was able to get into certain colleges, get certain jobs, get into certain universities to work there. She's a liar and a mean person. She's a nut job. I watched her the other night. She's all hopped up endorsing a communist in New York City. And she was all excited and jumping up and down. She's got to take a drug test. She really does. She's got to take a drug test. There's no way somebody can act that way and be normal.
I don't know. I think she's just crazy. Maybe he's onto something there. But this is going to be fascinating to see how this all rolls out with this election in New York and what he actually does and who supports him in the end. But I'm in the camp officially. Let him burn to the ground. Let him deal with it in New York City and try to survive this guy. But that's going to be fun to watch here in the coming months. Reardon Roundtable tomorrow at 3. We'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.